KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I had one of the grossest experiences at one of my favorite jobs. It was kind of disappointing. So my overnight job, went into work last night at midnight. I went to go put my pizza in the refrigerator and saw something that no person should ever see. Rotten fruit, more specifically rotten orange, and rotten fruit's the worst. I'm sorry. Like, right up there with, like, rotten cheese for me. And it was one of those moments where, like, I don't want to put my pizza in the same place as this gross mess of nastiness. Like, it was bad. But at the same time, man, I can't just leave my pizza out. It sucked. I don't know. It was gross. But what isn't gross is the show this morning. It's going to be super awesome. Danica's back. I'm super excited. I've been missing her so much. She's going to be back up this morning. We got your geeky news happening at 6:20. We got your word of the week happening at the beginning of the hour, 7 o'clock. And then we got some new news readers. That's right, new news. You don't have to listen to me read the news all week. We've actually got some 110 students doing their thing here. So I'm super excited to have them read the news too. It's been a hot minute. I'm no longer going to have to be news baron for 2 hours. Great. So stay tuned in to 89.9 KGRGFM. We got a great show for you this morning. We'll be back with your geeky news after Where's My Mind by the Pixies. You're listening to The Buzz.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
Geeky news.
KGRG 89.9 FM, you're listening to The Buzz.
Hey.
6:20, it's time for Geeky News. Good morning, Danica.
I'm back from the dead.
Yeah, how was that? Like, how was surviving the plague?
It sucked.
I was almost afraid you got mumps because I guess that's the thing that was going around up here.
Like, I was dead, honestly.
I'm glad you're back.
Thanks.
So let's get into some news. Are you a big Tremors fan?
What?
Do you ever... Let me restart that. Did you ever see the Tremors movies, like with Kevin Bacon and stuff?
No.
No? Really? They're awful. It's awesome. You should watch them.
Okay.
But we're getting Tremors 6. And these are movies that go way back. Way back to like
the
mid-late 90s.
The deep cuts?
Yeah, man. Before we had construction up here.
Oh, God.
But yeah. They're movies, for those of you who don't know, they're movies about these, like, giant underground worms that are attracted to vibrations and sound, and they terrorize a town.
I don't want that.
And they, like, eat entire cars and stuff. It's awesome.
No, I don't want that at all.
But, yeah. We have learned that we're going to get Tremors 6. It's going to go before the cameras this week. Michael Gross is reprising the role of Burt Gummer in the movie, with Jamie Kennedy also appearing in the movie. The shoot will take place in South Africa, and Don Michael Paul will be back to direct it as well. At least that's good news that they're keeping the same director, but after the second movie, I'm just like, I don't need this. It was very similar to a Jaws movie. Think like Land Jaws.
Land Shark.
Exactly. In other news for movies we don't need, we're getting Goosebumps 2. Confirmed for 2018. So
I
confirmed
didn't
for next
watch
year.
The first one.
Neither did I.
I have self-respect.
But Sony has confirmed that the planned sequel to the Goosebumps movie is to film this year ahead of release in January 2018. The movie stars Jack Black and is an adaptation of the R.L. Stine books directly. It turned out they turned Stine into a key character, with Black playing the author who finds himself ultimately under attack from his own creations. I didn't watch it because it looked god-awful, and I didn't need it.
No. I don't think anybody did.
And other remakes we don't need? Oh, God. This entire morning's just awful. White Men Can't Jump, starring Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, is going to get remade. The basketball comedy, I don't think anybody needs right now.
No.
Like, 90s was weirdly popular for sports movies, because you had the Mighty Ducks, Mighty Ducks 2, White Men Can't Jump. Basketball. I don't think we need any of that.
We don't.
Major League was another one with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
They were good. They were good movies. I liked them a lot, but I...
The Sandlot.
Sandlot was a good movie. I don't think we need anything else, though. Now, are you a big Game of Thrones fan?
Yes.
Do you need a prequel?
I wouldn't hate it.
Well, HBO president says there's a potential Game of Thrones spinoff that would be a prequel. That's what HBO head of programming Casey Bloys is telling EW, and the move seems smart. He said, quote, "A prequel feels like it has less pressure on it than a spinoff. George R. R. Martin's History of Westeros gives you areas of then go flesh it out, and then we'll see what comes back. But I don't feel the pressure that we have to have something. It's definitely safer and smarter option to stick to the source material as opposed to attempting to create something entirely new. It's kind of like how Walking Dead was based off of the comic books, right? You already have source material. You have stuff to go off of. They've gone off the beaten path a little bit just for TV's sake, but then you have stuff like Fear the Walking Dead. And I've tried watching it. I got through like half of the first season and then tried watching a couple of the second season. I don't need it. And that one's a prequel. You actually go from the world being normal to like patient zero all the way through. Now they're in Mexico. And they've introduced some cool concepts. I don't need that prequel. I can't think of a whole lot of prequels that I would need, but this would be an interesting one. It'd be cool to see Sean Bean come back and hope, and you know he's gonna die, spoiler alert, but I don't know.
Sean Bean.
I think I need him.
I just want that man to have a good time.
Right?
I want that man to have a happy ending.
I saw the statistics and it was like, he's been shot and killed, what was it? In at least 6 or 7 different movies. And I think the most brutal was Lord of the Rings when he got hit in the chest like 8 different times.
God,
it just wouldn't die. It's like, John Bean, just go to sleep. Just go to sleep, it'll be
just
okay.
Close your eyes, little buddy.
That's your geeky news for this morning, filled with a bunch of movie remakes we don't need. Stay tuned for the news coming up after Gogo Bardello, and I can hopefully speak after this. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KJRG.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KJRG Presents One OK Rock. January 24th, 2017 at the Showbox in Soto. Get one pair of tickets. Call right now. It's all ages, 21 plus bar with ID. So call right now, 253-508.
What number are you reading?
I was saying my own number, and I'm really tired. What's that number, quick?
253-833-5004.
I don't know what's happening. This is the news time.
Woo!
I've been dead.
I guess it's our case of the Mondays, I guess? I don't know, man, because I can't speak this morning and we can't remember phone numbers. Awesome!
I can remember the phone number. I just was about to give out my personal phone number, and that would have been terrible.
Oh, man.
Please don't call me.
So let's go and get to some news. First one we have... The more I thought about it, I'm oddly okay with it, but it might be because I'm already older than 21, despite the fact that I don't smoke. Legislation would raise legal smoking age in Washington to 21. Lawmakers in Olympia are trying to raise the smoking age to 21 again. And if passed, Washington would join 2 other states with higher restriction, California and Hawaii. It would also apply to vape products and e-cigarettes. The legal age to buy tobacco in Washington state is 18. Cancer advocates urged lawmakers on Tuesday to pass the Senate bill 5025 and House bill 1054. If passed, the bill would raise the legal age for sale of all tobacco products, including electronic cigarettes, to age 21. In the last year, similar legislation proposed boosting the legal smoking age. Survey released last year revealed 65% of voters backed hiking the smoking age to 21, while 35% opposed the potential raise. According to the State Department of Health, 8% of Washington high schoolers smoke cigarettes and 18% use electronic cigarettes. Now, I think I'm okay with this because, man, when you're 18, especially when you're 18, you've got bigger stuff going on than, like, needing to smoke. I understand people do it to relax or whatever. Whatever is your vice, but...
Yeah.
If you're 18, like, go ride a bike or something. Go take a hike. Go find a job, man. Like, life gets more stressful and it only gets worse. So if you start smoking now, it's only gonna get harder to quit.
Yeah, really.
And
it's not gonna be a fun time for you.
while I'm all about obeying the law, I'm going to quote something that was said to me by my junior high school counselors, like, during orientation my first year, I think it was, like, seventh grade.
Okay.
If kids, like, if you want to get a hold of cigarettes if you're underage or drugs or whatever, it's hard to do, but you can get your hands on it. Like, if you want it, you're going to get your hands on it, man. It's not that hard to do. People know people. So these kids who are 18, even if you raise it to 21, if they want to smoke, they're going to smoke. I knew kids who were like 16 and smoking.
Yeah, my dad was like 12 when he started smoking. Like, you're going to do it if you want to do it.
So I'm all about raising it, and we'll see how it goes. But I don't know. People can call 253-833-5004. Tweet us at TheBuzzKGRG on Facebook and on Twitter. Next news story I have sounds... It's like a reverse plot of Speed.
Okay.
Where instead of the dude trying to blow up a bus, there's a dude inside the bus. A man barricaded himself inside a Metro bus in Bellevue. Police say a standoff with a man who barricaded himself inside a King County Metro bus at Eastgate Park and Ride in Bellevue has ended peacefully. Investigators said the driver called for assistance just before 4 p.m. Tuesday afternoon after the passenger became disruptive while the bus was in service. Officers met the bus while it arrived at Eastgate Park and Ride Metro service to the transit center was shut down. They boarded the bus and tried talking to the man, but they said that he threatened to stab the officers. Police then helped the other passengers and driver to safely exit the bus. Negotiators were called in and tried to get the man off the bus and spend more than 3 hours talking to him through his phone. I couldn't imagine doing that. Like, that'd be terrifying for me, being stuck on a bus with a crazy dude.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. I don't want that. I mean, I've been stuck on the bus with crazy people just trying to get to work, but...
That's a whole different animal. Like, you got those creepy dudes who have... Creepiest thing I've ever seen on the bus was there was this dude wearing, like, this hat with a bunch of feathers in it. It was kind of like a fedora. Older dude. Bus was packed, but there were definitely seats on there. And this lady and her two kids come on the bus. She's got one in a, like, a little stroller cart thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one who was able to walk. Homeboy's just like, here, let me take this kid and put him on my lap.
Gross.
Right? It was... Ugh. So I could only imagine what it would be like to be stuck on a bus in a hostage situation, or even a hostage situation in general. It'd suck.
Yeah.
Last news story we got for this hour. A boy age 12 tries to rob a girl for her chicken nuggets at gunpoint.
Oh my... Okay. This is too much for me. I need to go home.
A 12-year-old boy armed with a gun tried to rob his classmate of her chicken nuggets at East Harlem subway station on Tuesday, police said. The boy allegedly pointed a gun at the girl inside the 103rd Street and Lexington subway station before he told her to give him a chicken nugget, according to police. She refused and walked away. He pursued the girl, then tried again, pointing a gun at her for a second time. She then smacked the gun away and got on the train.
This girl's savage.
Right? Like, how good are these chicken nuggets? The boy was arrested as a juvenile for attempted robbery. Police didn't specify whether the weapon was recovered or the child had been detained or released. There were no injuries as a result of the incident. Like, badass of the year goes out to this chick. Holy cow.
Oh my god. Like, this is a lot.
Now, I've kind of gotten into this recently with Thursday and food. We got a pack of my favorite toaster strudels, like the apple ones that come with the frosting you put on there by yourself. Mm-hmm. And yesterday morning, I made myself two of them. And I asked her, I was like, hey, you want anything? She's like, nah, I'm fine. Went back to the bedroom, started watching some Hulu. And then she took one, ate like half. I was like, bitch, what are you doing? This is mine. I will cut people, not even you. I will cut a stranger over these.
Oh.
So I get, like, not wanting to give up food.
That's how I feel about the extra crunchy taquitos.
Right? Oh, man. Don't mess with people's food. Especially like, if
especially
that's a favorite
offer,
thing.
If they're like, yo, you want anything while I'm up?
And I get it. But, this, like, you don't know you're hungry until you see food. But at the same time, man. Don't go after people's food. Food is sacred.
Yes.
That's your news for this hour on The Buzz, 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll be back with Hash It Out after a little burn, burn, burn.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
KGRG 89.9 FM, you're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for a little Hash It Out, where we go on the Twitter and we find out some of the stuff that's trending. And this morning's is a little fun, right? I guess, I don't know.
Yeah.
You be the judge.
This morning we're going to start it off with hashtag three words better than I love you. Now, reviewing these before we got on air, a lot of them are food related, which is okay. I like food.
Yes.
Like, what says I love you more than food? When you go out to dinner or whatever on, like, Valentine's Day, or when you take somebody out for their birthday, you go get food, man. So the first one we have is hashtag three words better than I love you. Hot donuts now.
Ooh.
Right? Especially when you go to Krispy Kreme in the morning, like before anything gets going.
Yeah. Mm.
There you go.
School is canceled.
Yeah, shout out to those guys in Portland. Did you know that they're up to 9 days of snow days down there in Portland? Like, they haven't been to school in over a week.
Nice.
Hashtag three words better than I love you. You've earned it. That's a good feeling.
That's a good feeling.
Right, though?
Hashtag three words better than I love you. As you wish.
Ooh.
Because Princess Bride. It's a great movie.
Hashtag three words better than I love you. Made you coffee.
That's nice.
Right? Especially early in the morning when you know you're hungover. I don't know. You're having a rough day, man.
Hashtag three words better than I love you. Free Wi-Fi available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Last one we'll do for this one. Hashtag three words better than I love you. The pizza's here. Like, not only do I get excited about my pizza, but the dogs get excited about the pizza. Girlfriend gets excited about the pizza. Who doesn't get excited about pizza?
The pizza, probably.
Even the pizza dude's excited about the pizza, man. He's just like, yo, I'm getting a tip.
Yeah.
Next one we have hashtag dude where's my band. Hashtag dude where's my band. They're three doors down. They're getting their first paid gig since 2007. That was the last time they were paid to show up and do a concert. Unfortunately, it's the presidential inauguration.
They're performing for Trump's inauguration?
Yeah. Oh, man. Next one we have, hashtag dude, where's my band? Lost in Strawberry Fields. Forever.
Oh, man. They're probably burning down the house, hashtag dude, where's my band?
Yes. Hashtag dude, where's my band? We have no idea. Our system appears to be down.
Hashtag dude, where's my band? They're at an all-time low.
Aww. Hashtag dude, where's my band? Those boys are having a fallout again.
Oh, gosh. Hashtag dude, where's my band? They would be 52 miles away.
Aww. All right. And then
That's my favorite.
We'll do for this one. Hashtag dude, where's my band? They're going in one direction.
Oh.
R.I.P. that boy group, I guess? I don't know.
Damn it, Zane!
He's not doing very well on his own. I've heard some of his stuff, unfortunately. Not a fan. Next one we'll do, hashtag motherhood films. So these are films that are already existing, but then you change the word around and now it sounds like something from motherhood. For example, hashtag motherhood films, Lord of the Teething Rings.
Yeah.
Also, this one sounds a little creepy, but hashtag mother films, I know what you did to your brother.
Oh, God. Hashtag motherhood films, fantastic moms and where to find them.
Hashtag mother films, who's your daddy?
Oh.
Oh, man, call Maury for that one.
Hashtag motherhood films, 18 years a slave.
Oh. Hashtag motherhood films, panic room.
Oh. Hashtag motherhood films, nightmare on Sesame Street. Yeah.
That was that noise. Hashtag motherhood films, the passive aggression of the Christ.
Oh, this one's cute. Hashtag Motherhood Films. How to potty train your dragon.
Oh, that is adorable.
Oh, this one's funny. Hashtag Motherhood Films wipes your face off.
My mom was really, I think bad about that is the right word. Like, she was all about wiping my face off when I was younger. I don't know if I was just that messy of a kid or what.
Did your mom do the thing where, like, she'd lick the napkin to, like, get it wet so she could really scrub your face?
Oh, no, man.
My mom did that.
She used her thumb.
Yeah, my mom would do the thumb, too, if she didn't have a napkin. But I was just like, don't lick me. I'm not a cat.
Oh, man. Like, that's the weirdest thing ever. I'm not sure what it is about, like, the maternal instinct of needing to lick your young.
Like, Like, if I ever become a mother, like, I'm like, am I gonna lick my children clean? I don't know. It's so weird.
I'm just gonna have some handy wipes on me. Or, like, tell the kid to live with it.
Go take a shower, you dirty mongrel.
That was Hash It Out on the Buzz, your hashtags for this morning. You had three words, better than I love you. You had Dude, Where's My Band? And hashtag Motherhood Films. We'll be back with your word of the week after some Dropkick Murphys on the Buzz. 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
89.9 KGRG FM, KGRG FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. The word of the week is what we do every week on Wednesday mornings, where we try to expand your vocabulary a little bit. Definitely stuff I relate to, or at least try to relate to, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a pretty unrelatable dude.
Yeah, but, I don't even know you.
This morning's is joke insurance. Have you contacted your insurance broker this morning about joke insurance?
Is that like when you make a joke that you think is going to go over well, but then everyone's just like, wow, man. That wasn't cool.
Almost. Joke insurance is when two friends have a mutual understanding to laugh at each other's jokes, no matter how lame or awkward said joke is.
Oh.
Therefore lessening the social failure of that bad joke. For example, I was talking to some girls the other day when I cracked a your mother joke. Luckily I had joke insurance with Chris, so I still ended up getting both their numbers. All Chris got was a weird look for his over the top laugh. Like, shout out to those friends who are willing to take those bullets for you. I know when it comes to bad jokes, a lot of my friends, instead of, like, offering to laugh with me, they'll threaten to stab me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, like, I think I've had more death threats than I have laughs. So I'm afraid if I ever start my comedy career,
you'll
the entire crowd's
stabbed.
Just like, you're dead.
You're dead.
They aren't even gonna wait to jump me until I get off the stage. But like, having that friend who's always there for you, it's really cool. At least, like, there's that mutual unspoken word of just, yo, I got your back, I'll take care of you. For example, Friday night, my roommate Josh had his birthday party.
Woohoo!
And one of my friends, Brandon, showed to him. Because not only is he the dude that, when he's over, I get just stupid drunk, but he also helps take care of me. So, got me stupid drunk, and then I got home at 10, I was out by midnight, and homeboy not only helped facilitate me passing out by midnight, he also helped me out and, like, he got me water and stuff. Made sure I was set up with cartoons. He felt kind of bad, but it was nice that, unspokenly, he was the dude who just like, yo, I got your back.
That's nice.
Right? It's a really nice feeling.
It's a good friend to have.
Do you have that one person in Danica who you just... If you were to make a bad joke, they would just laugh no matter what.
No, because I'm hilarious.
Fair. You're not wrong.
I've never really been like, oh man, like, I gotta have joke insurance. Like, I don't know. I've never... It's never been like a thing that I've thought about.
I guess I'm just bad at jokes then. I don't know, man. I'm also really bad at delivering jokes, too. Like, I haven't properly recited a joke in years, and I'll always, like, get the punchline wrong or something, too.
Wait, tell me a joke right now.
I can't.
See? Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it.
Like, I don't know. My last one giant joke, I guess. That was bad.
But
Thumbtacks.
I don't know. Like, there used to be those jokes back in elementary school that you'd hear all the time, and half of them, the punchline didn't make sense because they were a little too adult. And everybody would laugh, not knowing why we're laughing, but they would laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Oh man, that was a bad laugh.
You sound like an evil villain. No, you sound like Waluigi.
Oh man, so that was your word of the week for this morning. Joke insurance. When two friends have a mutual understanding to laugh at each other's jokes, no matter how lame or awkward said joke is, call us at 253-833-5004. We'll hook you up with some 1OK Rock tickets if you let us know. Do you have that joke insurance friend? Do you have that unspoken mutual bond? So hit us up on Facebook and on Twitter. We'll be back after the Menzingers. You're listening to The Buzz. Waking Things on 89.9 KGRG-FM. That is The Buzz's Band of the Month. We're actually going to have them up here on Friday. We got, that's going to be Chris, Matt, and Brian. It's been a hot minute since they've been up here, too. I'm excited.
Ooh.
Like, they sent us an email at The Buzz, or thebuzz@khrg.com, that one. They're like, hey, we want to come hang out on Friday because we have a show at the Vera Project on Saturday. I was like, dude, come on, let's hang out. They're a really cool show. We're going to have them up in studio. They have a brand new album to talk about it, too. You definitely want to listen Friday morning for that, and then you want to go to their show on Saturday. They probably have, they're my favorite band to watch. Like, a lot of the bands that we have up here sound really good, but there's nothing like going and seeing a Waking Things concert. I'm super excited. But before then, we've got to get through this segment. And this is one we introduced a couple weeks ago, where we have a situation. A couple of situations that we're going to go through. And we have to decide, is whatever we're going to get out of it worth the consequence? For example, our first situation that we have this morning. You can change one event in history, but you'll have to live in that time for the rest of your life. So if you go back in time, you change a thing, but you're stuck. There's no coming back. Like, you're not going back to the future. You're just sort of stuck where you are. Would you go back in time, and what would you, where would you go?
Oh, man.
So my grandpa, he met my grandma when he was deployed in Germany during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And despite, the war and stuff happening, I guess World War II, like, Europe was pretty legit after, like, the bombings and stuff. Like, after the war happened and he was still stationed out there, a lot of cool stuff happened. Plus, I guess it was pretty cheap to live out there at the time, so he was all, like, he had to wear his military stuff during the day while he was at his job, but he told me, like, he'd walk around town, go drinking, wear a suit. It was a pretty good time, so, like, I guess I'd go back in time and kill Hitler and then just sort of hang out in post-World War II Germany.
That'd be cool.
Right? I heard it was a good time.
Yeah.
What about you, Danica?
I don't know. Like, I've always kind of felt like I was born in the wrong time era. But I don't know, because, like, if you go and change something in history, like, even if you think it's, like, a good thing to change, like, it could, like, catastrophically mess up everything.
There's actually a really good book about that called The Sound of Thunder.
So, like, I just...
You wouldn't?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like, I've seen Back to the Future enough to know that you don't mess with it.
You don't want to become your own grandfather or something?
Yeah.
Well, 59% of the internet said they wouldn't. 41% said they wouldn't. Next situation we have. You get to live in a perfect life with various difficult objects that shape you into being a great hero, but everything you know is a lie. You're a character within a fictional world, and so are the people around you. So basically, you're a comic book character.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah? But you know you're fake. Like, your entire life is just meaningless. You'd still be okay with that? Or... I guess you could have fun with that, right?
It'd be fun.
You could go all Deadpool on it. So yeah, sure. Why not? 59% said they would. 41% of the internet said they wouldn't. Next situation we have. You become the most powerful being in existence, but you wipe out mankind from existence.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with no.
Yeah, I hate people, but I like them enough to, you know, have a couple stick around.
And plus, what's the point in being the most powerful being in existence if no one else is in existence?
Right, though? 56% of the internet said they would not become the most powerful being in existence, and 44% are just evil, evil jerks.
Those jerks.
Next situation we have, you'll become the happiest person on Earth, but you swap bodies with the person you hate most.
But what if, like, you hate someone that has a really rockin' bod?
Right? Like, I hate that Channing Tatum, that beautiful, beautiful son of a bitch. I want to punch him in his handsome face. I don't know. I hate some really ugly people and some really old people. I'm gonna say no. The people I hate, man, I just hate.
Yeah.
And I'd feel gross.
Yeah, be tainted.
45% of the internet said they would, and 55% said they wouldn't. Like, I'm pretty content with how I am anyways, man. I like me.
Yeah.
And then I think this will be our last one here. You become one of the most recognized artists in the world, but you get colorblindness. So would you give up the ability to be to see color for being one of the most recognized artists in the world? Now, here's the thing with this one. It doesn't say what you're recognized for, and it doesn't say if you're recognized for anything good.
I don't think so.
So you could go, like, Ariana Grande donut liquor recognized. Or, yeah. Like, Andy Warhol, everybody knows you for, like, painting cans of soup.
I don't be known for painting cans of soup.
I mean, that Corbin dude has color blindness, and he turned out okay.
Nah, he's kind of weird.
I don't know. I think I'm okay. I don't want to be recognized for, like, having some sort of scandal or, like, running around nude and being caught for it or something. I don't know.
Well, I've already been recognized for that.
59% of the internet said they would. Good, bad, or indifferent, they are more than happy being recognized or being a recognized artist. 41% said they would not. I don't blame them because, like, Justin Bieber's a highly recognized artist, but he's kind of a D-bag.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
I mean, he said he was sorry, but I don't really believe him.
It's too late to apologize, friend. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KJRG-FM. We'll be back with the news after some 1OK Rock.
Okay.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KJRG Presents 1OK Rock, January 24th. You can go see him at Showbox Soto. Get a pair of tickets. Call right now, 253-833-5004.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes! Yes!
You didn't give out your phone number this time, I'm proud of you.
I know, but I accidentally punched the mic. So,
don't
everybody
punch Mike.
Makes...
Mic abuse is wrong.
He had it coming to him.
Damn. Alright, so let's go ahead and get into the news for this hour. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Like, I feel this is an unnecessary change. But emojis are going to start rating food safety at King County restaurants.
Why?
So, like, eggplant for this place is bombing. Or, like, meth face. Nah, I'm kidding. It's just going to be, like, regular smiley faces. But the food safety industry is getting a 21st century upgrade. Restaurants in King County are set to receive new food safety rating signs. The signs will be displayed in front of windows, easily accessible to everyday diners. The current rating system is only available through an online record system. Three factors will determine the updated rating system: the trend of food practices over time, the scale of performance, and the rating on curve. The Department of Public Health will announce the final design late Tuesday morning. A total of 6 different designs were proposed and voted on by committee members. The signs will include in American, Cantonese, English, Korean, Mandarin, Spanish, and Vietnamese. So the signs, like, you have meth face for this is bad. You have less meth face for this place isn't going to give you food poisoning, but you probably shouldn't eat here. And then there's good and just sort of a regular smiley face, and then excellent is the equivalent of, like, I don't know, the colon and then the D?
I don't...
Like, I'm not sure why this is better than this the regular letter
people
grade.
People are stupid, apparently.
I guess so. Like, I'd rather just have the letter grade.
You do not want to live here in this world. That's where I'm at.
Fair enough. Next news story we have, the CIA dumps online nearly 13 million pages of documents, including some related to purported UFO sightings.
Oh, wow.
Right, though? The Central Intelligence Agency has published nearly 13 million pages of a declassified document online, documents that previously were physically accessible only from four computer terminals at the National Archives in College Park, Maryland. The documents were shed some light on the agency's activities throughout the Vietnam, Korean, and Cold War conflicts. It even includes documents pertaining to purported UFO sightings and the organization's quote-unquote Stargate program, investigating possible psychic abilities and what could be done with them. Quote, the access to historically significant collection is no longer limited by geography, said Joseph Lambert, the CIA's Information Management Director, in a press release. The agency hoped in October 2016 to have the archive publicly available online by the end of 2017. According to a source with knowledge of the agency's effort, the work was labor-intensive, but the agency was able to complete this ahead of schedule as a result of significant advancements in technology and data management. The archive touches the CIA's extensive history as an organization from its inception up through the 1990s. Now, I kind of want to go back and read these a little bit and see how much, like, X-Files-y stuff is in there. Because you have UFO sightings. You have psychics. And the psychic part of it sort of reminds me of... Did you ever watch... there's a George Clooney movie, Men Who Stare at Goats?
No.
I watched it just sort of a, meh, it's 3 a.m, I'm still awake, I need something to do movie. It ended up being really good, and I guess it was based off of real-life events where the CIA was training people to use psychic abilities.
That's cool.
And it started as a program where they'd had these people stare at goats until the goats just sort of fell over. So I'm really interested to see what's in these. Last news story we have, a disgruntled Hamilton pot smoker calls the cops when his drugs don't arrive.
Wait, Hamilton?
Hamilton, Pennsylvania.
Okay, because Hamilton, Montana is my hometown, and I thought that was going to be really funny.
But a cannabis smoker was so angry that her alleged drug dealer failed to deliver that she called the police. But the long arm of the law just couldn't catch up with both the dissatisfied customer and the supplier, with police saying even though no pot changed hands, it's still legal to try and buy it.
It's so funny.
Hamilton woman Betty Tamahana claims that she paid $40 for what a dealer claimed was an ounce of marijuana he was selling for $60, a fraction of the usual price. But like most deals, that seemed too good to be true. Tom Hama never saw the weed or her money back and complained about both the police and on a Facebook page that boasts 4,000 members.
I saw on an episode of Cops once, this person tried to buy, like, cocaine, and they were like, yeah, like, he sold me fake coke, and, like, so they called the police.
Well, that's why you gotta make sure, like, you know your drug dealer and you trust them. I'm not saying... So, I'm not condoning you go and buy drugs. The Buzz, KGRG, we do not condone you go and buy drugs. But if you do, make sure you trust the person. Or at least you know him or something. Like, one of my friends, he buys from his cousin. Like, their family, he knows he's not gonna get screwed over.
Yeah.
Right, there you go. But, yeah, man, just... And if you get one pulled over on you, don't complain to the police. Like, that...
Stupid.
I don't... This lady deserves everything that's coming to her.
Yeah.
I don't get why this... I'd be so dumb. I don't know, man. That was the news for this hour on 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll be back with the six-pack, and we're gonna ruin some childhoods with this one.
Aww.
You're listening to The Buzz. Well, up next, you got In Friends We Trust by Chuck McCaff and Chunk.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
Some brand new for you on 89.9 KGRG FM. It is time for a six-pack. Hey, Danica, do you remember what the six-pack is?
It is a list of things that are awesome or not so awesome.
Yes!
Congratulations, you did it.
I know.
Take a bow.
I don't want to get up.
Well, this morning we're going to ruin some childhoods. This morning's six-pack is the top six twisted fan theories about children's movies. And some of these are just weird, and a couple of them are interesting. There's one really sad one. Mm-hmm. We're going to save the sad one for number one.
Okay.
Right, though? All right, so let's go ahead and get into it. Number six. Donkey is from Pleasure Island.
What?
Shrek is everyone's favorite ogre, but Donkey has his fair share of fans, too. When their adventure played out on the big screen in 2001... 16 years since Shrek happened,
oh,
man.
God.
Kids couldn't get enough of the strange new animation, and adults snickered at the naughty humor. 15 years after the movie's release, a theory about Donkey's backstory is making waves on the internet. It involves Pinocchio. In the 1940 film, ill-behaved boys are sent to Pleasure Island and turned into donkeys. Therefore, this theory has it that Donkey was once a boy who was sent off to the very island and turned into a donkey. Furthermore, it is thought that since Pinocchio himself also features in Shrek, there is no reason a donkey from Pleasure Island wouldn't make the cut. Donkey also stands out because he didn't seem to belong to a fairy tale in the Shrek storyline, whereas most of the characters come from fairy tales and nursery rhymes. Like, that is the one... That's the one character where... Yeah, I couldn't peg where he came from, man. And everybody else, like, you had Tinkerbell, you had the fairy godmother who was just, like, the fairy godmother from every generic fairy tale...
Yeah.
Generic Prince Charming, Big Bad Wolf. So a lot of the people were recognizable, but Donkey, just sort of like, who is the...
He's just there.
Yeah. What the hell, Eddie Murphy?
Why are you there?
What are you doing, buddy? Number five, Elsa from Frozen and Rapunzel are sisters. By now, many might have read the theory that Ariel and Flounder from The Little Mermaid were swimming around Anna and Elsa's parent ship in the beginning of the movie. Or the one recently confirmed by the director of Frozen that states that their parents didn't die in the storm but ended up on a deserted island and had another child...
Tarzan.
...who turned out to be Tarzan. Can't believe that one got confirmed, too. That's insane.
It is confirmed. Illuminati confirmed.
Another weird fan theory is now making the rounds with people just waiting to see if it, too, will be confirmed. This theory claims that Elsa from Frozen and Rapunzel from Tangled are sisters. It is said that Elsa and Anna's parents were on their way to Rapunzel and Finn's wedding when they were perished at sea. Another angle on the theory claims that when Tangled was released in 2010, Rapunzel was 18 years old. Frozen was released in 2013, and since Elsa was 21, she would have been 18 at the same time as Rapunzel.
I think that that's true because there's a scene in Frozen where Rapunzel and Finn are at one of the balls.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Well, this led to more speculation, including that Elsa and Rapunzel might even be twins because of their similar looks and the fact that they're both left-handed. Are they left-handed?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even... It's always weird when that's, like, a major plot point in a movie, or at least a thing in movies.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of watching Ocean's 12 on purpose this weekend. And there's a scene where Julia Roberts' character... has to pretend she's Julia Roberts, but
that hurts me.
Right, but she's like Julia Roberts' character is right-handed, but I guess Julia Roberts in real life is left-handed, and they get busted on that. Spoiler alert for a movie that sucks. But it's weird that her being left-handed was a plot point.
That's weird.
So I don't know how being left-handed makes them twins, but that's really cool. That I hate it when fan theories happen. And movie companies are just like, oh, screw it, it's just a stupid fan theory. It's really cool that the people from Frozen are actually like, yeah, sure, that's a thing. Especially the Tarzan thing, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
And then number four, one of my favorite, like, Disney childhood movies, it wasn't released as when I was a kid, but I still like it, I guess? Big Hero 6 characters are genetically linked to Frozen characters, so another Frozen theory. I also love this movie. It was great. But as soon as the Lilo and Stitch Easter egg was spotted in Big Hero 6, several fan theories about the movie's connection to other animated films started piling up on the internet. One of the theories is that Aunt Cost might, or may well be described, or may well be descended from Princess Anna from Frozen, considering that they both eat when they're stressed or excited, and they both push their hair behind their ears, among other mannerisms. Another theory states that Fred's father, Stan Lee, resembles Prince Hans from Frozen. There is also a statue resembling Hans in the garden. Finally, bringing Tangled and Big Hero 6 together is a theory that Honey Lemon is a descendant from Rapunzel because of their similar sad and happy expressions, not to mention their blonde hair. Now, these are, like, two drastically different timelines, too.
Yeah, drastically different.
Like, both Frozen and Rapunzel from Tangled are medieval, where Big Hero 6 isn't even, like, modern. It's more futuristic, set in, like, a fictional place. Like
future times.
Yeah, it's set in, like, weird Tokyo, San Francisco. I forgot what they called it.
Tokyo, Cisco.
There you go.
That's not what it is. I just made that up, but...
It works. You could have fooled me. But... I really like that movie, and I hope they make a second one. In fact, I think they're doing comic books and stuff. It's based off of a comic book series.
Oh, cool.
But if you can get Stan Lee Cannon as, like, a Disney king or, like, prince or whatever, that'd be legit.
Yes.
Like, I'd sign the petition.
I would, too.
So that's part one of our six-pack. The top six twisted fan theories about children's movies. Stay tuned for part two after California Here We Go, because we're going to continue ruining your childhood. It's The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM.
And now, back to the six-pack.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We're in the middle of our six-pack, part two of the top six twisted fan theories about children's movies. Quick recap, number six was Donkeys from Pleasure Island from Pinocchio, the one where all the kids got sent there and turned into donkeys. Number five was that Elsa and Rapunzel are sisters, going along the lines of how Tarzan was confirmed to be, I guess, the brother of Elsa. And then number four was that Big Hero 6 characters are genetically linked to Frozen characters, which... it's interesting because there's such a big time gap, supposedly, between those two movies. But let's go ahead and get into it because, like I said, number one is going to make it really depressed.
Mm.
We still have numbers three and two to get through. Number three... oh, not that one. I don't know where my sound effect went. We'll come back to it later. Number three is that Boo becomes a witch. Boo from Monsters, Inc.
Wait, what?
A long-winded theory has it that Boo from Monsters, Inc. grew up to be a witch from Brave. The first evidence of her magic powers is said to be when Sully closes the door on Boo. When she turns around, she's outside again. It's also thought that Monsters, Inc. is set in the future, and Boo travels back in time to visit Miranda, where she lives in a lair, does carpentry, and alludes to her origin by having a carving of Sully in her shop. The carpentry corresponds with the wooden doors in Monsters, Inc. It's also believed that Boo learned to time travel by using an overload of magic, which took her back to the time of Will-O-The-Wisps, the time period that Brave is set in. That's interesting. I heard rumors that they're supposed to do a second Monsters, Inc. movie that's supposed to be set farther along the lines where...
There is a second one.
Is there?
Monsters... University.
That was a prequel, though. That doesn't count. I'm talking, like, an actual sequel that comes after, like, the events of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I'm getting specific up in this BZ. I'm never going to say that word again. I'm sorry. So, I don't think that one's got any legs. I honestly have never seen Brave.
I like Brave.
I know the general premise of it, so I'm not sure how well this fits. But, theory's there.
I can see it.
Number two. This one's a little weird. Ice Age is set in the future.
Nope.
No? A couple of months ago, a compelling fan theory reared its head on Reddit regarding the setting of the Ice Age movies. The theory has that the Ice Age happens in the future after humans have resurrected dinosaurs using discovered DNA. So, a weird, like, Jurassic Park gone wrong, I guess? Humans have also started building spaceships, but a nuclear war breaks out, leaving only a few humans reduced to live like Neanderthals. The Ice Age is brought on by nuclear winter. The evidence given to support this theory includes the fact that humans are only seen in the first film. Human history does not correspond with the events shown in the film, and the plant that tries to devour Manny and Diago could be some sort of warfare mutant experiment. Also, the Scrat we know and love is not the same Scrat throughout the movie series. He may as well have been cloned by scientists for recreation purposes.
Yeah.
And I guess this makes sense, because I guess in the last one, there's aliens now? I don't know. I stopped watching after the second one.
Me
man.
Too. I was over it.
So, could be. All the humans ran off and died. We'll see. Number one, get ready to break out the tissues. Carl from Up died in the beginning.
No, how dare you?
Right? I told you, man. This one's going to be sad. The sad fan theory has it that not only did Ellie die in the beginning of Up, but her husband Carl, the old dude, also died in his sleep shortly afterward, after becoming notified that he has to give up their home and go live in the retirement home. This means that the entire movie then visualizes Carl's journey through the afterlife, with Russell acting as his guardian angel. Russell is meant to help get Carl used to his surroundings, and is thought to have taken form of a child, since Carl and Ellie can never have their own. His and Ellie's home is the last of the physical realm that Carl is clinging to, while Paradise Falls is said to represent heaven.
I'm very upset with you.
I can't deal with that either. Like, not only is that upsetting, but just, I don't know, that's some Bruce Willis Sixth Sense issue right there. I hate those movies where it's just like, plot twist, main character was dead the entire time. It's neat when characters do die. Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen Star Wars, Rogue One, a Star Wars story, or however it's titled, Friendship is Magic. But
friendship is magic.
It's always interesting when main characters die, right? Like, that's,
yeah.
It's a nice change of pace, but this one, not expressing it, is, I guess, the worst cliffhanger of all. And poor dude. Like, nothing goes right for him in that movie, and I feel really bad. So, hopefully you didn't cry too hard on your way to work. But that was our six-pack this morning. The top six twisted fan theories about children's movies. Hit us up at the Buzz KGRG on Facebook, on Twitter, or call us at 253-833-5004. If you call us right now, we'll hook you up with some 1OK Rock tickets. And while you're at it, let us know what's your favorite childhood movie. Maybe we'll ruin it for you. It'll be fun. Let's ruin some childhoods. This is Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the downfall of us all. I still can't talk this morning. Holy crap. By a day to remember. 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And Danica, I found out Thursday and I are probably the worst roommates ever.
Okay.
We get overly excited about a game show that we watch Monday nights at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
So the game show doesn't air at 11 o'clock on Mondays. We just decide to watch it on demand. But, like, luckily our roommates are cool. Like, they're really cool about it. They're really understanding. Plus, they're awake most of the time.
Yeah.
But we get really into it and really excited.
Okay.
There's a new game show called The Wall. And
I've seen. Okay, I want to watch that.
You should. Thursday and I are super into it, and it's great.
Okay.
Like, not only do we, like, root for the people to win money because it's super exciting, but also for some reason, we love it when they lose.
I mean, yeah.
Like, it's my favorite part. There's actually an episode, spoiler alert, where somebody ends up with $0.
Oh, yeah.
And you get the choice of either, like, guaranteed money from the beginning or whatever you get after the mystery round where you're secluded or whatever and you don't know what's going on. And we're just like, oh, man, this lady's going to make the wrong mistake. It's a really fun show, but we get really stupid into it, like yelling, and I end up jumping around. I haven't been this much into a show since like the season premiere of the season Walking Dead. And earlier off air, you told me you've been getting into a show recently.
Oh, no, I've been into this show, like, since the beginning.
Well, explain what the show is.
It's called Snapped, and it's about murder.
Murder most foul?
It's like these women just go crazy. Like, their husbands cheat on them or whatever and just drive them to do the unthinkable. They're just evil, you don't know.
I have a couple of stepmoms who, like...
You wouldn't put it past them?
Exactly. One of them, she was really nice, but she was also really into soap operas. I don't know how those two are related, but, like...
I named my brother after a character from a soap opera.
Nice. But, like, I don't know. In soap operas, people are always, like, trying to hide the body or, like, murder people, stuff like that. So I wouldn't put it past her, and then there's another lady. She wasn't my stepmom, but they did for a while.
I have a video to show you off air.
This lady was insane. Like, she was a substitute teacher. Really nice lady. But you could tell that not all the marbles were there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she was a little out of it. So I wouldn't put it past her to, like, quote-unquote snap and just murder literal everyone in the house. Oh, she was insane. So hit us up, 253-833-5004, or on Facebook, on Twitter. Let us know, what TV shows are you into right now? Is this something you've gotten into recently? And I'm not talking like you watch it every day, like you watch it when it comes out, new episode every week, like you are into it. Even if it's football, man, sports count, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sports count. So that's 253-833-5004. And The Buzz, KGRG on Facebook, on Twitter. We'll be back with the news after assuming we survive. Who knows? Maybe we won't make it that long, the news. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This Saturday's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents 10K Rock. Call in right now, 253-833-5004, and win tickets for the show at Showbox Soto on January 24th.
Don't call Adanica. Call us, 253-833-5004. Well, Adanica will pick up the phone, but...
I'm going to be asleep.
Okay. I might pick up the phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
And since it looks like our newsreader got murdered on the way here...
Breaking news. The newsreader got murdered.
Breaking news.
Alright, first news story we have. Danica, did you hear that the Ringling Brothers are shutting down their circus?
No, I did not.
Yeah, man, so you can't go to a Ringling Brothers circus anymore. But their final show at the Nassau Coliseum, God, I hope that's how that's spelled or said, got sold out.
That's... That I guess.
Officials say the Ringling Bros and Barnum and Bailey say the iconic traveling circus's final show at the newly renovated Veterans Memorial Coliseum on Long Island is sold out. And an announcement was made last week that the greatest show on earth would be shutting down this spring after touring for nearly 150 years.
That's a long time.
Right, though? The circus will be at the arena in Uniondale for 16 performances May 12th through the 21st. Newsday reports the seats normally going for $23 to $75 in the venue's upper levels and $191.75 in the lower levels are priced on the secondary market at $245 and then $2,000 respectively for the circus's last show. Officials say that the Field Entertainment producer of Ringling Bros and Barnum & Bailey say declining ticket sales coupled with high operating costs made the circus an unsustainable business.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the circus?
Couple times.
I went. I don't think I was the biggest fan.
When I was little, there's a thing at the end where you could go either ride the miniature ponies or you could ride the elephant. And like all my friends I was with were like, I'm gonna ride the pony. I was like, I'm gonna ride this elephant.
There you go.
I was like four.
Like, I went and like they had like the freak show area or whatever. And not against people, like, nothing against people with deformities or whatever. Like, people do it for a living. But, man, it weirded me out. And I'm not one for being weird out. Even now, like, I've grown the stomach for it. I can actually watch some horror movies. But back when I was younger, man, Girlfriend. Next news story we have, Ed Murray is denying ducking contact attempts from the NBA. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray strongly denied a report that he has been avoiding calls from the NBA. The Monday report on the NBA blog, 16 Wins a Ring, alleged that with terms of the league's new collective bargaining agreement with players' union agreed upon in December, Commissioner Adam Silver was turning his attention towards adding two new franchises to the 30-team league as early as the 2018-2019 season. Authors Adam Joseph and Keith P. Smith identified Seattle as a lock for one of the two spots provided that the city can secure an arena, but also cited sources close to Silver that mentioned the commissioner's frustration with Murray, whom they characterized as ducking the league's calls. Murray spokesperson Benton Strong denied the report. Quote, "There's absolutely no truth to that whatsoever. If anything, we're trying to get together on a call with both commissioners and keep the lines of communication open." The mayor's office did not respond to additional requests for comments, but this report comes at a time of increased activity surrounding the city's attempt to build an arena that could host an NBA or NHL team. On January 11th, the city released a request for proposals or to renovate or rebuild Key Arena, which will compete with the hedge fund manager Chris Henson's Soto site. And regardless of how it turns out, I'm excited. I know that Seattle is... A lot of people really want the NBA to come back to Seattle. The closest thing we have right now is the Portland Trailblazers.
Trailblazers.
But it's not the same, man.
It's not.
It's like Portland saying that their home football team is the Seahawks.
Yeah.
You can say it is, but...
It's not.
It's not the same thing. And it'll be exciting... It'll be exciting to see if we get an NHL team. I know that the T-Birds are really really popular up here, and they do pretty well for themselves. But it's tough because a lot of them are younger dudes who are only here for a year and then get moved up to the big leagues.
That's true.
So it'll be nice to have, like, a consistent team. Last news story we have, an unclothed driver leads police state on a high-speed chase.
An unclothed?
Unclothed. Completely nude.
Whew.
A 48-year-old woman who was driving naked has been taken to a hospital for observation after leading police on a high-speed chase through two mid-Michigan counties. Police say that the 25-mile chase reached speeds topping 100 miles per hour Saturday morning on southbound Interstate 75 before the woman's vehicle was forced by officers into a utility pole and then a ditch. Ouch! You can only imagine, like, crashing into a pole, you're gonna get glass everywhere. Get cut up. That doesn't sound like fun at all. That's awful.
I mean,
I've done it before. I've driven nude.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've driven with no pants on.
Like, what was it? It was almost 2 years ago now. I was on my way to this very station. I was on a Thursday night when I was interning. And we were having what I thought was going to be a dress-up night because... Quinn was going to prom.
Aww,
so
Quinn.
We're like, dude, let's have our own prom night. Like, she was off at prom with one of our co-hosts at the time, so we're like, screw it, let's have our own prom night. I dressed up, the show's host dressed up, nobody else did, and I was getting changed while driving. Like, pants, shirt, everything. I was on I-5 wearing nothing but my boxers at one point.
I think it was 2 years ago for me also. There's like a fire drill here on campus, and like it was raining super hard, and like everyone was just sitting outside, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna drive home. I'm over being here. I'm like, my clothes are like soaked through to the bone, like by the time I got to my car, and I was like, my pants are so wet and I'm freezing. So I like just took my pants off.
There you go.
And drove home.
Man, but that was your news for this hour on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We'll be back for our thrilling conclusion after Japandroids, Near to the Wild of Life, Punks in a Disco Bar by Beach Sling. I like that song. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. Danica and I are pretty much, like, done for the day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm probably going to go home and die.
Going to take a nap right
or
now.
Or take, like, definitely go into a coma.
Yeah.
This weekend was, like, one of those few weekends where I actually slept in. By sleep in, I mean I slept for, like, a day and a half straight.
Ooh.
Right, though? but we're tired. We gotta get out of here. For those of you still starting your day, stay safe out there, man. Like, the rain's really coming down and it sucks.
Scary.
So if you're driving around at all today, just keep back. I'm not the best at this. In fact, I'm a pretty aggressive driver. Borderline
scary.
Constantly road ragey. Also pretty scary. But yeah, keep your distance out there. Stay safe. Stay warm. Listen to us on demand. If you missed any part of this show or our past shows, we're on KGRG.com and the official KGRG FM app. Looking into getting on iTunes. So stay tuned in for that. And we're probably going to get back on SoundCloud soon. So a lot of stuff in the works. Until tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. on 89.9 KGRG FM. This has been The Buzz. We'll leave you with Punk Rock Show by NXPX.